All right, so this is Brother James. I'd like to be known as Tupos. That means example in the Greek. I want to welcome everybody that's listening, whatever your case. If you're an ex-Anabaptist, you're in the world, you're a current Anabaptist, whatever. You're a seeker, you're already a believer. I want to welcome you to this audio testimony of a young man named Brother Patrick. I know him as Brother Zelos. That's in Greek, means zealous for the faith. I know him to be that. And we're getting together. How are you doing today, Brother Zelos?
I'm doing well, brother.
We are getting together, and he is going to, it's kind of an interview type thing. He is going to tell his story. Well, I'll let you speak. What are you going to tell us your story about?
I'm going to give my testimony, maybe, story of our journey thus far in our faith. How we came out of the Hutterite system that I was a part of. How we found Christ. How we started seeking truth.
Which
how
one?
We found truth.
Brother, which one were you part of up in Canada? Which one were you part of?
Oh, I was part of, if you know the Hutterites, they're split into three groups. There's the Darius Lloyd, the Larry Lloyd, and the Schmid Lloyd, and I was part of the Darius Lloyd, a colony in Raymore, Saskatchewan.
Raymore, Saskatchewan, yeah, okay. And so, yeah, I think this is going to be really edifying for everyone, and we wanted to do this testimony. I like, we were studying the Word together the other day with another brother, and I liked how you said that word testimony means witness. And so, you know, I have been striving in the truth of God for many years as a street preacher and teaching, and yeah, I've strived against the Anabaptists, and my testimony is from the outside, testing them to God's word. We now have an eyewitness testimony from the inside. This young man was born a Hutterite until he was about age 25, and then, praise God, by the truth of God, the glory of God, the Spirit of God, he found his way out of that to follow Christ in spirit and truth. He's married, he has small children, and you're going to hear all about that as we move on. Now, I just want to say this before we get right to the interview. This attempt that Brother Zelos and I are doing is about redemption. This is not about getting the Anabaptists, getting the Hutterites. We actually love them. Our Lord tells us, love our enemies, love our neighbors, love our brothers and sisters, love God. So we love them, even though we see them as enemies of the truth of the gospel. We see them as enemies of it. We love them very much. If you go and read 2 Peter 3, Peter talks about, well, let me read it to you. I don't want to read it word for word. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word all, Brother Zelos, would that include the Hutterites?
Yeah, they fall under the banner of all men everywhere. He commands all men everywhere to repent.
Amen. And so this is not a get them type of thing. This is going to the scriptures, going to eyewitness testimony. And this isn't going to be so much about scriptures. The testing, we're going to put up a testing of Raymore Hutterites Exposed, and that will have more scriptures and they have the biblical gospel. This isn't really a Bible study. This is a testimony. But I wanted to read that verse so you see our hearts about redemption. And the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, I have hundreds of street preaching events on my website where I go out and I street preach at religious places in the world, at events, any street, in streets. And the Anabaptists know all about me, and they don't like me because they say I target them. And that's such a lie and such a abrogation of truth, because I was just telling Brother Zelos, of the hundreds of street preaching events we have about 10 that are Anabaptist aimed. They're not my focus. They're not something I'm going out just to get them. When I run across them, I do witness to them because I love them like anyone else. But we do Roman Catholic, Lutheran, the Super Bowl, worldly events, farmers markets. We go everywhere and preach the gospel. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer up there. And I need to say this, anybody listening, I am not an ex-Anabaptist. Neither is my wife. We did not come out of the Anabaptists. We were the wickedest, most wicked, vile people. We came out of the world. We did look at Anabaptist faith when we were born again, and we decided it had too many man-made traditions for us to follow it. And so we strived on in the truth of God as New Testament ecclesias, coming out of the world, coming out of the church systems, coming out of man-made religion. So this testimony, I think, will edify you. And let's get right at it with that disclaimer. So, Brother Zelos, tell me, in as many words or as little words, time is not of the essence here, so you take and be led by the Spirit. How did you grow up as a Hutterite? What was it like? What is the daily life of a Hutterite?
Okay, so this will be based more on my Hutterite's upbringing, and generally among most of the Hutterites it would be very similar. There might be a few differences from community to community and even from one of the branches to the other branches, but generally speaking, this is how it is normally done. So starting way back as children, when you're about 3 years of age, before that you're with your parents, about 3 years of age you start kindergarten basically, where you go to a school with all the other children in school and you start getting taught about communal life and community living. When you reach the age of about six, you start, in the Hutterite term for it is the big school. You go to school with the big kids then, and you start normal grade school as most people do. And the Hutterites usually have schools in the colonies where they have teachers from the world. Some communities now are starting to have their own teachers and curriculum, but for the most part, it's just the school board sends one of its teachers to the colony school to teach the children there in the classroom, and you get an education basically like anybody else gets. You grow up basically with an education going to school until you reach the age of about 15, and then you quit school at the age of 15 and you're a teenager and you go to work. The young men learn how to basically work and be productive members of the colony. The young women, when they reach the age of 17, they get a cook week, as it's called, where they start to learn how to cook. And Hutterite life is very communal. The community is the focus. It's the basis behind the way the Hutterites see it. It is the pinnacle of Christianity. It's the fulfillment of all that Jesus taught as the community. In German, it's the Gemeinschaft, the Gemeinde, the Kma. In Hutterite dialect, it's the church. I'm going to call it the church because that's how everyone understands it. And basically, that community, the church, is the pinnacle of Christianity. To serve the community, to live in the community as neighborly love, to serve the community as everything that Jesus taught is encompassed in the community. And that's what it's taught, that's what it's focused on. And if you care about the community, if you work for it, if you're zealous, if you don't cause too many problems, if you keep all the traditions of the community, that is the focus and standard of a good life. And that's what's taught from a young age all the way up, and you're a young man, and eventually as teenagers living, you basically probably live the same way that most people live as teenagers. There is not a whole lot different. The culture might be different, the communal life might be different, but the rest of the life really isn't. You watch movies, you listen to music, you go to parties, recreational dating is common. In some places, drugs, marijuana are also used. It's not like they're set apart or holy in any way among the youth. It's basically what you would expect anywhere in the world where young people who are unregenerate come together and what they want to do in the culture of the world. Very common among the Hutterites. That's generally what they do. They do the same thing. They all have, a lot of them, most of them have phones, they're on social media, they're on the internet, they do what they do. So using that base, being raised a Hutterite does not make you a Christian by any stretch of the imagination. They raise you to be part of the community, but the lifestyle is according to the flesh entirely.
Yeah, I have two questions. Well, one, first I want to say, I should have said this at the beginning. I want to say it right here. Brother Zelos did not approach me with my website and say, let's go after the Raymore community. I should have said this in the beginning. Brother Zelos and I have our houses united. We are walking in the faith, and we agree on doctrine. And so this is not an attack at the Hutterites or the Anabaptists. This is an extension of the ministry we do together every day as we're studying the Word, united in the faith. Our wives are striving and encouraging each other, other brothers and sisters. So I wanted to say that we're united in the faith. I want to make sure I said that. And then quickly, I want to say that we also agree on the gospel, how you find eternal life. And I want to preach it real quick. By faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the perfect God-man came and showed us the way. By faith in him, we repent. We change our ways, our mind, our flesh, our man-made traditions, our cultural ways. We repent to obedience. And when God sees a willing vessel, you become born again, and the holiness and obedience in your life following for him is the fruit thereof him. He said, you know a tree by its fruit, and you must endure in that saving faith to the end, not clinging to man-made religion, not clinging to your own ways. That's the gospel that Brother Zelos and I preach and believe and live by. And I wanted to preach that here because I want to say this to Brother Zelos. What does the Hutterite community tell you saves you? This is paramount. Let's frame this whole thing. I just preach the gospel that saves you. What do the Hutterites tell you saves you?
In the words of one of their ministers, maybe I should go back and kind of build upon this.
Yes.
Because of all this among their youth, some of them are realizing that it's not right, because some people have kind of been speaking up. You know, this isn't right that all this is happening among our youth. Well, they don't know any better is the excuse. So they came up with this idea that they're going to have youth meetings where they call all the youth together, and then they have people admonish them and they can ask questions. And in the words of one of their ministers, actually, I think it was their eldest minister, to be precise, the bishop, if you diligently serve the community, if you keep all the ways of the community, if you don't trouble or cause any problems in any of the ways of the community, and basically you hold all the ways and traditions of the community, and you work, and you get up and go to breakfast, and you go to work, and you go to church services every day, and you try and live a good life, you will be saved.
That doesn't sound like the gospel I just preached, or what Paul preached.
No, and that's why the fruit among the Hutterites is the fruit that it is among the Hutterites. Can I
frame what you told me? This was astounding when you told me this. I've heard this from other Anabaptist types, so I guess I wasn't that astounded, but I was a little bit surprised. You told me, what do they call the Hutterite community?
Well,
the Ark. And I was like, the Ark. And you told me how they say that is the Ark that saves you, their community.
Yes, and then basically getting back to day-to-day life among the Hutterites, it's very centered on tradition and ritual. Generally, it follows the seasons. They're usually into agriculture, manufacturing, or farming, or something like that. It's very centered on the seasons and times of year you do certain things, and then your day-to-day life is basically you just get up, you eat communally, you go to work. Every evening, if the minister is diligent, every evening at around 6 o'clock, depending on the community, you have a evening service where you get together and you sing songs and pray and have an admonition. And every Saturday and Sunday, you have church services. Sunday's usually an hour and a half in the morning, and then another short half hour service in the afternoon, evening. And they hold all of the holidays, and Christmas, Easter, all those pagan holidays. They actually have services on Ascension, on Pentecost, on all those days as well. And it depends basically on the community, how zealous the minister is in holding all these church services. The colony I grew up with, not so much. The minister on our colony, well, to describe him, I'd probably read Isaiah 56 for you. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. that basically sums up our ministry. So we never really, growing up, I never really had those daily church services, but I did enjoy them when they were there, because growing up, even if I wasn't a Christian, even if I wasn't that especially strong of a Hutterite, what probably is a common mindset among the Hutterites is that, yeah, we've all gone astray, we've kind of left where we're supposed to be, we know we're not in the right place, we know we're not living right anymore, but you know, nobody's perfect, and you gotta just keep trying, and we gotta keep. So they've got this mindset, and I had this mindset. The biggest problem is that people are no longer walking according to the community and the system and its ways and rituals and traditions and commandments and the way it was set up as of old. But you never really questioned the system itself.
But it was, it was never really rooted on scripture. It's mostly rooted on man-made traditions. Amen?
Now it is.
Yes.
Way, way, way back, maybe 500 years ago when they started.
It would have been more biblical.
It very quickly disintegrated, probably within 50 years of them starting the community.
I have a question. Do they encourage you to study the Word of God and hold to the Word of God?
Maybe with words, but they strongly discourage it. Like, there's even with the youth meetings, they want to, we need to get all their young people up, but really what they want is for you to be zealous in according to the system. They want you to be zealous according to basically do everything, keep all our way traditions, strive for the community, don't cause any problems, don't live in sin according to the community standards, and live like that. But to study the Word in and of yourself, to follow the Word of God, even if it, especially if it would cause conflict with what the community teaches, that's highly discouraged. And most of them have the attitude, especially among certain branches like the Lareloid, no, do not study the Word of God for yourself. We have ministers, they will teach you the Word of God, they will preach. It's kind of like the Roman Catholicism. If you understand Roman Catholicism, you will understand the Hutterite mindset, because they're about 98% similar. It's go to the ministers, the priests, if you will, and they will tell you what the Word of God says. They will preach your sermons that explains everything from the Word of God. Don't you go there, because like somebody told me, you know, the Word of God is like a stream. If you're content to just drink from the surface a little bit, then it's okay, you'll have clear water. But as soon as you go deep, you'll stir it all up and make it muddy and you'll get lost. And that's the mindset. It's not biblical at all.
So much. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. Not so much for the Hutterites.
No, they don't encourage that. They more encourage you just... You live as a good Hutterite. You live and hold all of the ways, and that's how I was raised, and that's what the common mindset is. And then when you reach a certain age and your age group decides to, they have this ritual of baptism where, first of all, most of them, a large majority, I'm going to say probably 90% of them, if not more, only go baptized because, according to the colony rules, you cannot get married until you are baptized. Remember, the colony first. So they spend their entire youth, most of them, basically recreational dating and trying to find someone to marry and living it loose. And then when the time comes that they want to settle down and get married, then they have to go through baptism, which basically means that for a time, you really got to kind of try and keep all the colony ways. You know, you got to stop causing all the open problems. And then you go to ask the colony, you go to the minister and you ask him that basically, we'll cover this later, but how they do baptism, but you basically ask the minister that you want to get baptized, and then he asks the colony, and then the colony basically, everybody's got their opinion, the men have opinions, the women don't, about basically whether or not this guy is someone who we can accept as a brother. If he's kind of living a troublesome life, not so much, maybe try next year. They only baptize once a year at a set time, and try next year. And if he seems to try and live like he wants to live a better life. So nobody's perfect. So let's baptize him, and then you go through the whole ritual of baptism. We'll cover that more in detail later.
All right.
And then you got baptized, and then you are now a member, you're a brother, you're a part of the community.
Yeah.
And then daily life changes more to you're more involved in the church part of the community. You have a say whenever somebody is elected to, maybe I should explain this, that in the colony, you've got all the members, and then there's you could call them almost a board of directors, if you will, if that helps you picture it, over the colony, where they're usually elected. The ministers are chosen using, basically, the community picks a few men, and then they cast lots for these men. Whoever draws the lot, he's the new minister. And most colonies have two ministers, and they've had a steward, someone who looks after the finances and the financial resources. And they have a farm manager, a farm boss, whatever you call them, who basically looks after the farm management side of the operations. And then you have a few people for council, and sometimes a Sunday school teacher, somebody like that.
Maybe you could expound for us briefly, so people that don't know, where'd the Hutterites come from?
Originally, they started, they sprung out of the Reformation, where the Anabaptist movement began, and they started when a group of believers, basically they didn't have a whole lot, they were on the run, so they all decided, you know what, we're going to pool all our resources and have a common purse the way they did in Acts, and then they started the community with that, and then from there it grew. And probably if you read the history books, within 50 years of the original starting the community, it started getting turned into a system where the community was the end in itself. It was no longer Christians living together in the community as a form of love and free-willing hearts. It was a form of, this is the only way to live as a Christian, and if you're born into this, then you are a Christian.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, I'm not an expert on Anabaptist history, but to my knowledge, the early Anabaptists were rabid about preaching the gospel, and very quickly, many of the Anabaptists just went into communities and stopped that altogether.
Yeah, basically when they stopped that, the world stopped persecuting them, and they thought they were doing something right.
Yep. And where does the name... I'm sorry, go ahead.
They were originally very zealous evangelists, but nowadays they don't even preach outside of their buildings.
Would you agree that they have more of a focus on making money than proclaiming the gospel?
Yes, because the community, again, the community is the center and the focal point and is seen as the height of everything that you're supposed to be before God.
Yeah,
God wants everyone to live in this community, which means that if you live in this community and if you work really hard and you're very zealous and you make lots of money, the community can flourish financially, then you are doing what God wants you to do.
Yeah. Where did the name Hutterite come from? Is that from the Bible? What verse tells us to call ourselves Hutterites?
Well, I could read you one from Corinthians where it says we're not to call ourselves deaf.
Amen. Where did that name come from?
Well, one of their early bishops and leaders was a man named Jacob Hutter. And when he was martyred very publicly, they started adopting his names. Oh, you're from Jacob Hutter's church. And then they adopted the name, yeah, we're Hutterites. We're from Jacob Hutter's church, and they stuck with it.
And much like Menno Simons and Jacob Amen and Mr. Hutter, I'm pretty confident those men would come back and rebuke anybody that named them after themselves. Would you agree with that?
Yes, because if you read any of their writings, they were very zealous for the word of God and striving for the word and truth of God. They would have probably read 1 Corinthians to you. Corinthians.
Yeah. Amen.
1 and 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah. Where it very clearly says we ought not to call ourselves after men because we're carnal and fleshly if we do that.
Yeah. One other point before we move on in the interview. Expand for us. I think this is important. You said that it's communal living. Their body, that community is the ark that saves you, basically. And it is a system where you don't get money. You get taken care of. And would you, I've dealt a lot with Mennonites, and I call it the Menno net, meaning they go to church the same place, they work the same place, they all have the same family members, and it's like a net that holds them in place. Wow, if I leave the Mennonite faith, I got to get a new job, a new family, a new body together with. Would you say that the Hutterites are also part of that ideal, kind of holds people in place because you don't get to have money? They fill all your needs, meager needs, and you pretty much are, we'll talk about it later with you, how you got out, but they pretty much hold you there in place because of finances. Would you agree with that?
Yes, because again, it's a communal purse, so everything is seen as holding common. Nobody, no individual owns or is supposed to own anything. That's what they teach. Quite frankly, most Hutterites, I don't think, believe in community goods anymore.
Yeah.
They just live because it's a band-aid on their conscience where they can tell themselves, oh, we still live according to the scriptures because we still hold community of goods the way our forefathers did and the way the early apostles did in Jerusalem. But they don't actually believe it because I don't think any of them at this point are sincere about it anymore. Maybe a few are, but
yeah,
the vast majority are not, because in the community living, and if you truly held to it, first of all things are for the community, nothing for yourself. And that's what's supposedly taught and practiced, but they don't actually hold that, because most of them have side hustles and side jobs where they make money on the side for their own pocket to buy things they want to buy that the community doesn't give up, because the community supplies all your basic needs. You've got your house, you've got any medicine, anything you absolutely need is taken care of.
Right.
And to highest standards, they do not live meager lives. I will say this, they do take care of their own very well. When it comes to anything that you need in this life, it's taken care of. Houses, money, food, they eat very well. I call them out for gluttony because they're wasteful and extravagant in it. They basically, everything's taken care of. What they do, and this varies from community to community. Some communities will supply everything down to the smallest things, like a toothbrush. Some communities will give people money allowances every month, buy whatever you need. Like they basically figured out, this is how much you need to buy all your personals, and
yeah,
this is how much you need to buy that. And they do the same thing with once a year at Christmas, or some do it twice a year. They basically give you a whole package of snacks and goods and candy and goodies and everything you need, enough to stock your pantry for supposedly the year. So you got snacks throughout the year.
So they got all these physical needs met, but they just lack that little thing called truth and spiritual salvation in Christ. They got all these physical things met, like so many of the religious groups that are false, but they're lacking the truth. Amen.
They're very zealous in meeting all of the flesh.
Yeah. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our next point. I just want to say, we're taking our time to do this because we think anybody listening to this is going to be a truth seeker, interested in this young man's journey out into the truth and following Christ and out of the Hutterite false heretical lifestyle. So we will be getting to the actual points that he gave his leaders about why he left. So hold on to that. He has good reasons why he called out and why he did that before he left. But we're working up to that, so stay tuned. So the next question I have for you, Brother Zelos, is you, about age 25 is when you began, you got out of the Hutterites. Tell me about your journey. How did it begin? So you're born a Hutterite, you're in this cultish-like system. Would you agree you would call this cultish-like?
Yes, I would.
A cult is anything that is outside of the truth of God, the ways of God, established and made of man for salvation. So I would agree, this sounds like a cult. When did your journey start? Your eyes opening to start you to come out of that system?
Probably started as a late teenager. Again, growing up in the Hutterite system, you never really think, are taught the biblical gospel, so you don't really think about it that much, because it's more your focus, it ought to be the community, not the gospel, and Jesus Christ as your savior. So for me, it started when, not going to go into too much detail on that, but I basically hit rock bottom at a certain point. I didn't have anywhere to go, I didn't have anything to do, my life basically hit rock bottom. My own making, because when you live in the flesh and in your sins, you can't really expect anything else, can you? And then I decided, well, why don't I turn to God? Why don't I see if Jesus can't help me here? So I did.
Can I ask a question? Do you have the Word of God in the Hutterite communities, meaning a good, what you would now say, a good translation of the Bible to read on your own? Or is it something that they give you that's like a German Bible that's been altered or changed or whatever?
No, if you do get a German Bible, you can get an English Bible. For that matter, I think the Hutterites are without any kind of excuse, because even though they discourage personal Bible study, they've got volumes and volumes of scriptures and even edifying exhortations written by people who probably were, some of them were martyred for the faith. Anybody among them who claims they don't have the Word of God is because they didn't want it. Their German translations is just a translation in the German language. It's not corrupted or changed.
Right.
I've read it, and then most, now you can have, the Anabaptists actually have these, and you can order them quite commonly. German-English Bibles, where they're side-by-side, King James and Martin Luther's translation, and they're basically the same thing.
So any Hutterite could read Mark 7, where our master says, "The keeping of man-made tradition voids your worship of God," and that would prick their conscience and begin a search. Anyone can read that, amen?
If they read the Bible, yes.
Okay.
It's one thing to have a whole bunch of books on a shelf collecting dust, and another thing to open it and read it.
Amen.
Amen. So my journey started when I actually turned to God and I started reading the Word of God. And at first it didn't help me, and then I probably made a few mistakes along the way, because I was listening to, I didn't understand everything, so I turned to men. I listened to teachers, I listened to false teachers. I know now that they planted a lot of thoughts and ideas in my head which were wrong, and some of those ideas I would have fought for. I did argue about them, I would have, and in doing that, I still did not see that the system was wrong. If anything, reading the Word of God led me to believe that at the time that the problem was that nobody was living according to the Word of God, and the Word of God would teach us, I still had this mindset, that if we live according to it, we will live the Hutterite lifestyle perfectly.
You were kind of blending them in your unknowing lack of knowledge. You were kind of blending them, saying the Word of God and the Hutterite ways could go together if we could live that way.
Yes, if basically I still believed at that time, I'll be honest, I believed the problem, the biggest problem for the Hutterites and their apostasy and their everything that I saw around me that was wrong, was not that the system was wrong, it was that the people weren't following the system correctly. The
right.
People were the problem with the system.
Right.
And my journey from there basically just, it started growing from there. And I kept searching, I kept digging deeper, I had a hunger and a thirst for the truth of God. Even if I didn't understand everything, I would hunger and long after it more and more, to the point where I would turn even to false teachers just to hear somebody actually preach from the Word of God.
Can I stop you right there? Don't name any names, but when you say false teachers, are you talking about like popular evangelicals on the internet or radio or something?
Yes,
okay.
Even those. I can name some. Like John MacArthur was one who I listened to.
False teacher.
There's evangelicals. Anybody who basically said they had the Word of God, and I know a lot of them led me down rabbit holes that I should not have gone down, and I had to dig myself out of them again.
Calvinism,
evangelicals. I never jumped into Calvinism. I saw that, but some of their points, they were very... They take things of God too lightly.
Yes.
And basically try to explain it away in ways that don't make sense. And then I eventually ended up seeing a lot of that, and I turned back to just the Hutterite Anabaptist writings. And reading those writings, I developed this conviction in them that, again, the biggest problem was that we weren't living according to our own teachings and our own communal ways anymore, and we needed to do that. And that basically as a community and as a church, we were apostatizing from our very own teachings. Let's not even consider the Word of God. Our own teachings were condemning us. And things just kind of progressed like that. Then I was alone. I have to say this. At that point, I had nobody to talk to about the Word of God. I did not know any young men, any young believers around me who wanted to talk about the things of God. Everyone was just like, yeah, whatever, just you're living in the community, you know? Especially if you're young, their biggest problem, their biggest concern was partying and finding a girlfriend.
Wow.
Not so much things of God. But I held to it, and then eventually through the years, I did make a few friends who we could talk to about the Word of God, but most of those happened later on. when I was actually starting to stand up against the Hutterites, where I made most of those friends.
Ah, I see.
And in the meantime, it was kind of a struggle like that, coming to Christ. And then I met my wife, and we started getting to know each other, and we started studying the Word of God together and studying Scripture together. And we came to a conclusion through some happenings in our life and praying to God, where we committed to Him that basically if He helps us through some things and He protects us and keeps us, we will follow Him no matter what. Basically that no matter what, if He helps us and He's gracious to us, we will follow Him. We will commit ourselves to His truth and to seek and to know Him no matter what. Which is easier said than done, because no matter what,
yeah.
No matter what is a key phrase, but if you start doing no matter what, it means no matter what.
It's like saying I'll die for you, Lord. And then when that day comes when you're ready to die, it's not quite that easy, but it must be done.
Yes. And the first thing we did, and this was crucial, this is probably the first step we did in waking up truly. In not just saying we were Christians, not just saying we wanted to believe, not just saying we want to follow Jesus. This was the first step in taking the ladder to actually follow Him. We cleaned our house and we did nothing but study and read the Bible. We talked, like I had a huge library. I still have a lot of books. And I loved reading. I read anything I could get my hands on, but it's not good. It's not any better to read a bunch than this to listen to a bunch of false teachers.
Amen. Yeah, it can be worse sometimes reading it. Sometimes it seems like it goes deeper in you.
Yeah, so the first thing we did is we cleaned up. We took all our books, we locked them in a cabinet, and we did nothing but sit down and start studying the Word of God.
What a novel idea. Go to the book.
Yeah, what a novel idea. You'd think being a Christian and calling myself a Christian, trying to follow Jesus for a few years, that would have occurred to you. But while God was merciful to us, I'll just put it that way, He was gracious that He allowed us to come that far, and that I guess he saw that we wanted Him and He helped us. But when we started reading and studying the Scriptures, it was about that time, I think, that I first reached out to you. I found your website through an unbiblical teacher's blog, and I found your testing of the Hutterites, and then I texted you up, and let's just say this for the benefit of anybody listening here. Brother Tupos and I, we didn't get along at that time.
We didn't get along.
We butted heads. We disagreed. And I'm just going to say this. I think Brother Tupos still has a testing on his website of me in that time. And I quite frankly don't have a problem with it. I like that it's up there. It's a good reminder of where I've come from. If you want to look it up, look up the Hutterite Heretic from Canada. I was defending sin. The biggest reason we clashed is because Brother James, at the time I didn't call him brother, it was just Jim. That guy who was basically, we were kind of like two goats that just smashed heads together continuously. We were not getting along at that time. And he was basically, I was trying to defend the system and basically blame it on the people, not the system. And he was showing me that the system, and as a whole denomination, a church, we were in a lot of sin, a lot of false ways, and I was trying to defend it and excuse it away, and it didn't work. And we really clashed heads there, but the seeds were planted, and we basically parted ways at that point. But that's why I first reached out to you. And then the more we were studying, the more we started seeing things around us that were wrong. But even then, I did not see them clearly. Like some things, for example, like Christmas. I realized that it was not in the Word of God. To practice and hold it was pagan. It was sinful. It was against everything that we're to be as a Church of Christ. But I did not see Christmas itself as the problem. I saw that Christmas, you know, us celebrating the birth of Jesus and just holding church services and doing it spiritually, this would still be okay and it was still good and we should still do it, but we shouldn't do any of the pagan things that the world does. It was kind of things like that where I was still, I'll admit it right now, confused in some areas. But I was seeking truth, and glory to God that He brought us as far as He did in it. So we started seeing things like that in our lives, and we started cleaning. We started basically, one of the things we were convicted on was our manner of dress, because the Bible says we ought not to adorn ourselves, and we ought to cover biblically.
The Hutterites do. The Hutterites do not dress biblical, men or women. Amen.
Yeah. So we weren't sure what to do with it because I was one of those people who, when I believed the system, I was very. I think I'm just gonna say this here. I think the reason I was able to come out of that system is because I sincerely believed in it. I sincerely believed that it was the full and perfect way. I sincerely believed that it was the absolute height and pinnacle of Christianity. And I sincerely believed that there was nothing wrong with the system. It was just the people not obeying the system that was the problem. And looking back, I think the reason I was able to come out of it is because I so sincerely believed the system that when I upheld and fought for the system, and it kind of left me hanging with nothing, it opened my eyes to the fact that the system was in itself nothing. It was a lie.
That's awesome, yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons I was able to come out of it. And probably 90% of Hutterites don't believe in the system. They don't care. They just live there because it's a secure, comfortable, carefree life where you don't have to have any responsibility for yourself or your faith.
Yeah.
It's all taken care of.
Like the Church of Laodicea, right?
Yeah, very lukewarm.
Yeah. So I think let's stop right here. I'm going to start another audio. We're going to go to part two, okay?
All right.